Phonology's next. Call, talk to Carolyn. Sign up to be a member. 800-662-5799.
It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And this week, the Phenology Show is being done off the cuff.
Why is that, John?
Well, John was in a hurry this morning, or John was not thinking clearly this morning, and he came into the radio station without his computer. And all of my notes are back home on the computer. So I spent 10 or 15 minutes trying to remember all of the things that I'd seen this past week and realized that was a hopeless task. But since I can't remember what I bought this past week, but it comes down to this. I spent a lot of time walking my property and enjoying ferns, and on the edge of my property, the blue flag, the wild iris, out by the edge of the lake, and I went with my good friend Harry Hutchins to a cool little cedar swamp right by the edge of his lake, and we wandered around in there. So wade in the water was exactly what we did for most of the week, but we did find a few things beyond the confines of bogs and swamps. And we'll talk a little bit about those, starting, I think, with the ferns. The cinnamon fern is quite spectacular right now. And the cinnamon fern gets its name from the fact that the fertile stems of the cinnamon fern are absolutely the color of cinnamon. They are reddish brown. They are ripening right now and becoming quite obvious amongst the clumps of cinnamon ferns. And I had the opportunity at my house to see a clump of cinnamon fern and a clump of interrupted fern right next to each other. Now, the interrupted fern, its fertile parts grow right on the stem, right on the stipe. And there you see the normal, let's call them leaves because pinnae gets confusing, but the leaves coming off of the stem are interrupted by this short, maybe 5 or 6 inch long piece of stem where the leaves look really different. They're, this time of year, they're very dark green, almost tending to brown. And those are the fertile parts. That's where the spores are being produced on the interrupted fern. But if you look at an interrupted fern in the whole, in the aggregate, you'll see that it's rounded. The leaves coming off the sides are rounded. The end of each of those little leaflets is rounded, and the end of the leaf itself is rounded. Now, on the cinnamon fern, the ends of those little leaflets, pinnules, are pointed, sharp. And not like a pencil, but rather sort of blunt and then come to a really quick end with a little tiny point right at the end of it. And the overall appearance of the cinnamon fern compared to the interrupted fern was that the interrupted fern was quite round everywhere. And the cinnamon fern was quite sharp and pointed everywhere. The branch, the pinnae, with the leaflets on it, the pinnules, that came to a sharp point. And on the interrupted fern, it doesn't. So looking at nature is endlessly fascinating. And things, the little details are what make up the difference. And this provided me with a great opportunity because I had the cinnamon fern and the interrupted fern right next to each other. Bracken is up. That's that three-limbed big fern that grows all over the area. Every time I see bracken, I remember from my childhood a patch of bracken that were really, really thick and crawling in underneath them. And just the smell under there was wonderful. And the whole experience of being down below these 3 foot tall spreading ferns and just having that little secret area was just marvelous. And every time I see bracken, even to this day, I think about that. And I think about how maybe I will just crawl in underneath a big patch of bracken one day just to have that experience once more. Also up on dry ground, I found, the blackberry began to bloom this past week and is now probably approaching its peak of bloom. Big white flowers, probably an inch, maybe an inch and a quarter across. Five petals, big, big, healthy looking white petals. And a very aggressive thorn on the stem of the blackberry. The raspberry is also in bloom. Those flowers are white-ish, but more green and a little bit more difficult to see, but they are also nearing their peak of bloom. And the thorns on the raspberry are not nearly as aggressive as the thorns on the blackberry. The third one in that group, and one that is fairly rare in the Grand Rapids area, and I'm pretty sure even more rare as you get west out to the Brainerd or Bemidji area, is one called thimbleberry. Now, thimbleberry is really common on the North Shore, and if you've ever walked the North Shore hiking trail, you have walked through patches and patches of thimbleberry. And to me, the berry itself is kind of insipid. It's not really flavorful. It doesn't have that overwhelming raspberry taste or that blackberry taste. Its taste is sort of subtle, but it's a definite nice berry to eat when you're walking along the trail and you're a little thirsty. The thimbleberry, there's a couple of patches of it here in the Itasca County area, and I went by it yesterday and they had just begun to bloom. So all three of those woody caned type stems, actually the thimbleberry dies right back to the ground and comes back up each year, but the thimbleberry, the blackberry, and the raspberry are all in bloom. I saw buttercup in bloom. The tall buttercup, the meadow buttercup. It has a bright yellow flower on it. If you look at the flower, it looks really shiny. And the reason it looks really shiny is that over the top of the yellow pigment that is forming the flower is a clear coat of clear cells. And those clear cells really cause the buttercup to shine. There's another buttercup blooming as well, and this one is blooming in water. So, five petals, bright yellow flowers, but the leaves are almost invisible. They're very, very reduced, and the plant grows in water, and it's water or swamp buttercup, and that is blooming as well. Blue flag, the wild iris is blooming. There's a great picture on KAXE, KBXE season watch of a blue flag wild iris that someone has taken, and it is absolutely stunning, the beauty of the picture. Every one of those blue flags is a gorgeous little reminder of how beautiful nature can be, and those also are going to be growing near water. Water arum is blooming, probably reaching its peak right now. Water arum is that. If you're driving along this morning and you're driving by a ditch with water in the bottom, water arum has a big white, it's actually a leaf. You would think it was the flower, but it's actually a leaf, the same way the Jack in the Pulpit has a leaf that is modified to form the spathe. On the water arum, you also have that big white leaf, which is modified to attract the attention of the insects that will come to the flower, which is in the middle, and that part is called the spadix. Jack in the Pulpit, I mentioned it. It is probably at its peak of bloom. Now's a good time to figure out whether it's male or female. You know, I've told you before the difference between the male and the female. You lift the top of the pulpit and you look down at Jack, And at the bottom of that spadix is either a cluster of green berries, which would make it a female, or a series of little white lines that look a lot like spider webs, kind of thicker than spider webs, but and that would be a male. And the jack in the pulpit can go ahead and just change its sex year to year based on whether or not it's a good, healthy, vigorous plant. The bigger, healthier, more vigorous the plant, the more likely it is to be a female. So check out the jack in the pulpit in your neighborhood. There are probably some out there. Three leaves, just like poison ivy. But if you look carefully at the jack in the pulpit leaf, it has a vein that traces the edge of the leaf from the stem all the way to the apex. And so there's this, just a line that goes along the edge of the leaf on the jack in the pulpit that will help you determine whether it's jack in the pulpit or poison ivy. If you see that vein that runs along, it's like somebody took a pencil and traced a line, maybe an eighth of an inch in from the edge of the leaf all the way around it. That's jack in the pulpit. If you don't see that line, then, you know, it might be poison ivy. Could be strawberry. Could be a lot of different things. But it's not jack in the pulpit, and you should be careful of it. Then I think it's time to turn our attention to the bogs and swamps where you can wade in the water. And Harry Hutchins and I waded in the water this week, and we had just a wonderful time, and we saw all kinds of things. At Harry's little, I'd call it a cedar swamp, we found one-flowered pyrola, we found lesser pyrola, we found both early coral root and striped coral root. Both of those are orchids. And we found, we did find the Cypripedium parviflorum macassan and the Cypripedium parviflorum, the yellow lady slippers and the little yellow lady slippers. And let me think. Oh, naked miterwort was in flower, little five-petaled yellow flower, just a tiny little flower, a beautiful little thing. That pretty much was from his place. And then, let's see, what else? Oh, I saw the stemless lady slipper, the pink moccasin flower, and I also saw the showy lady slipper, the big white and pink moccasin flower. Now, some people confuse the pink and the showy, and the easiest way to tell the difference is by looking at the sepals. Each of these orchids, each of these slippered orchids has three sepals, one that goes straight up and two that go out to the side. And in the case of the yellow ones, they're kind of twisted. In the case of the showy lady slipper, they are white, and it is the only one with white sepals. The showy lady slipper, the state flower, has white sepals. The pink lady slipper, the pink moccasin flower, has green to yellow-green sepals. And the parviflorum, the yellow lady slipper, has green to slightly flecked with red sepals. And the moccasin, the little yellow lady slipper. Now this one, the slipper itself, the actual slipper on this flower is less than an inch long, but the sepals are mahogany or deep red. And that's how you tell the actual true subspecies moccasin from the main species parviflorum. And you may have one of those older orchids books when they were called Cypripedium calceolus, and they've changed the nomenclature there from Cypripedium calceolus, which was the yellow lady slipper, to Cypripedium parviflorum, just to keep us on our toes, I guess. At any rate, lots of the Cypripediums, lots of the slippered orchids blooming right now. I suspect that if you are lucky enough to be in an area where you know where there are ram's heads, which are also Cypripediums, they are probably blooming right now as well. This is an excellent time of year to get out and start kicking around looking for orchids. They are a lot of them are in flower right now, and this is the good time of year. Between now and, say, the middle of July, it's an excellent time to get out there. Other flowers I noticed over the past week, white campion. That's the little white flower with the big swollen calyx right behind the flower. And I know I've mentioned in the past that when I was a young lad, my brother and I used to take those, load them in our slingshots, and shoot them at one another. And they were, you knew when you were hit, you didn't have to worry about that. It stung, not quite like a bee, but you knew you'd been struck by something when you got hit by the calyx of a white campion. Blue bead lily is blooming really big. Bunchberry is blooming. And some of you may recall, I've talked about bunchberry in the past. The stamens, the pollen-producing parts of the bunchberry are folded and have like a knee action on them. And when an insect or when the wind rubs these things at the right time of year, that knee action flings the pollen up into the air, a whopping 2 centimeters, which is, so gosh, a little bit short of an inch, but it's enough. And that pollen then goes flying off and lands on other bunch berries, and then you'll get a cluster of berries. And speaking of insipid, they're edible, but hardly anything you'd want a pie of. You'd have to have something in there, maybe rhubarb. Rhubarb bunchberry pie. That's one I haven't tried. We'll have to see if that works out. Lots and lots of dragonflies out right now. Golly, they're just everywhere you look. There's a new species of dragonfly. Same thing is true of butterflies. I saw my white admiral butterfly this week. That's a black butterfly with a broad white band on both fore and hind wings on both sides. So a pretty easy one to identify. Lots of other butterflies out there to check out too. Finally, I would say that the deer are in there wearing their red coats, and they are growing antlers if they are males. And so now is a good time to sort of sort the deer and keep an eye out for them, because they're, golly, I don't know. They seem a little bit distracted. I dodged a couple this past week, and hopefully I won't have to do that again. They can do a lot of damage if you're not ready for them. So pay attention. And while you're paying attention, don't forget to call KAXE, KBXE this morning and pledge your support. Call us 800-662-5799.